this begins, chapter 10, as we saw last week, begins the second part of the book of Proverbs. The first nine chapters basically serve as a preface to the actual Proverbs, and we see chapter 10 here is the beginning or the commencement of the second part of the book. And we saw last week that there basically are four types of proverbs presented in the book, and these proverbs provide us with principles for living, provide us with rules, not just any rule, but rules from heaven that we are to govern, that are to govern and to help us to conduct our life in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord. We see in verse 1 the Proverbs of Solomon. And again, from this begins the second half of the book, and there are various proverbs. Last week, we looked at verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. And we, from this point on, in the second half of the book, we'll deal with the proverbs by subject. And last week, we looked at this first proverb here in verse 1, which is the subject of that proverb and many others throughout the book, is the happiness or grief that children bring to their parents. That brings us to the second subject in verse 2 and verse 3. It says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer, will not permit the soul of the righteous to famish. Notice the word soul. The Lord will not permit the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. The subject that is introduced here is the insufficiency of the world's goods, or the insufficiency of the material, and the sufficiency of the things of God, or the sufficiency of the spiritual. And we see several proverbs in the book that deal with this subject. We see the first truth presented here in verse 2 is treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Treasures of wickedness, that is, treasures obtained unrighteously, treasures obtained wickedly or not right, these profit nothing. Now, there's an implication there that you can do wrong and have treasures. But the truth that is taught here is that those treasures will not profit you. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. Now, all through the Bible, we are reminded, and we need, as God's people, we need to occasionally be reminded of this. It's something we all know, but and it's something that we all know is true, but it is something that we need to be reminded of every now and then, and that is earthly treasures, whatever they are, that which is material, whether it be gotten rightly or whether it be gotten unrighteously. Earthly treasures are of a fleeting character. They do not last. We need to always keep that in mind. The Bible gives us many scriptures along those lines. We're not going to look at those scriptures for time's sake. We see also that earthly treasures, again, I'm not talking about that which is gotten by dishonesty or that which is wrong, just earthly treasures in general. Earthly treasures bring danger into our life. God warned the children of Israel of this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. He said, when you begin to flourish, make sure that you do not set your heart upon these things and forget the Lord. And there are many scriptures to remind us of that truth as well, that earthly treasures do bring some danger. The Bible also teaches that earthly treasures are deceptive. And I would render a guess that in some degree, we have all been deceived by earthly treasures, material blessings, material wealth. They are deceptive. They are also disappointing because they really, in the end, concerning that which really matters, you will find out that earthly treasures really don't matter. So earthly treasures are disappointing. And if all of this is true, and it is, concerning earthly treasures, how much more so treasures that are gotten or obtained by wickedness? And that's what this first, what we read here in verse 2 and verse 3. It's talking about treasures that are obtained by wickedness. Notice in Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21, verse 6. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity. Now, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue, certainly you could fit under treasures of wickedness. And if treasures of wickedness profit nothing, then treasures gotten by a lying tongue profit nothing. Again, the implication is that you can gain some material treasures by lying and by deceit, but they're vanity. They're empty. They profit nothing. Proverbs 22, verse 16. He that oppresseth or takes advantage of the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want or to need. Again, it's talking about obtaining wealth dishonestly, obtaining wealth in a wrong way, obtaining wealth by taking advantage of someone else, by taking advantage of situations or whatever. These are treasures of wickedness, and they profit nothing. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 17. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 11. As a partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right. Again, it is possible to get riches and not do it righteously. It is possible that you will obtain riches. But again, there is a warning. He that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Again, it will prove that they profit nothing. Good examples of this, of course, would be Naboth. And what good was Naboth's vineyard? What good was Nabal's vineyard to Ahab when Ahab sat in his ivory palace and was withering under the curse of God? What good was a vineyard? It was of no benefit to him whatsoever. He obtained it, and he obtained it not by right. He obtained it in a wrong manner. But what good was it? Think of Judas. What good was the 30 pieces of silver? It was of no use to him whatsoever. And this is what this proverb is saying. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. You can get treasures. You can get material wealth, perhaps, by doing what is wrong, by taking advantage of others, by stealing, by lying, by cheating. Perhaps you will get treasures by doing that. But that doesn't change the fact that those treasures profit nothing. They're useless. They're of no good, and they will bring the judgment of God. He goes on here in verse 2. We see a second truth that is brought forth here is, but righteousness delivereth from death. The second truth is that the blessing and sufficiency of that which is spiritually right, that which is obtained righteously, that which is done correctly, there's a blessing there. There is a blessing. Righteousness here has reference to holiness of heart and life. It has reference to justice. It has reference to equity in obtaining wealth. And the promise is that God will preserve that individual. It says the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. It does not say that say you do what's right, you're honest, you don't cheat anybody, you don't take advantage of anybody, and you obtain treasures. There is no guarantee that God will not take away those treasures. You don't have that guarantee. The guarantee you have is that your soul will not famish. That is, that you will be spiritually healthy. And the subject really of all of these proverbs is that the spiritual is to take precedence over the material. We have preached that over and over and over and over again. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You do that and things will be okay. But it's when we put the material over the spiritual. Every single time you do that, whether you realize it or not, whether it becomes obvious or not, you lose. You lose every single time you put material ahead of spiritual. You lose every time you put physical ahead of spiritual. You lose every single time. You lose the blessings of God. And so these proverbs that we're going to look at tonight deal with this subject of the insufficiency of the material, the sufficiency of the spiritual. Notice the second proverb along these lines in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 4. Proverbs 11, verse 4. It says riches. It's talking about material riches. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. That is, riches profit not in the day of judgment. They will not matter. They will not matter one iota. But righteousness delivereth from death. Now, the day of wrath here has reference to the time of God's judgment, the time when God is executing his wrath, the time that God is showing forth his vengeance upon sinners. And riches, however they are gotten, doesn't matter here. Riches will not spare from God's judgment. Riches will not prolong life, and riches will not be able to purchase
a way of escape from the judgment of God. You will not be able to purchase your own escape. You will not be able to purchase the escape of your loved ones. Riches profit not in the day of God's judgment. We need to remember that. In other words, when it comes down to the judgment of God, riches doesn't really matter. It really doesn't matter. In Psalm 49, verses 6 and verse 7. They that trust, and this goes along with the proverb we just read there in Proverbs 11, verse 4. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. Which is just another way of saying, riches profit not in the day of wrath. Riches profit not in the day of God's judgment. The only thing that can deliver from God's wrath is the righteousness of Jesus Christ put to your account. That's the only thing that can deliver you from the judgment of God. So if I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ put to my account, and all saved people do, then I have more than the richest person on the face of this earth who does not have the righteousness of Christ. You see, I have what matters, and they don't. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. And then it goes on to say, but righteousness delivereth from death. The lesson of the proverb here is do not trust. Do not trust in riches. They will not profit you in the day of wrath. They will not profit you in the day when God pours down his wrath and his vengeance upon man. The next proverb in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, verses 16 and verse 17. Better is little with the fear of the Lord, with reverence for the Lord, than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. The great lesson of this proverb is what Jesus stated in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And that is, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. That is not what defines. That is not what matters when it comes down to it. It is not what you possess materially that is going to matter. The true riches spoken of in this proverb here in Proverbs 15, verse 16, 17 is twofold. There is fear, reverence of the Lord. An individual who has but a little, but has reverence for God, has more than the individual who has much and who has no reverence for God. Because again, this fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you have the wisdom of God, you have wealth. Though you may have just but a little materially and a little physically, you are rich. Notice along those lines in Proverbs 8, verse 18, riches and honor are with me. That's wisdom. Riches and honor come with wisdom, yea, durable riches. The riches that will last is riches found in spiritual and heavenly wisdom. So therefore, we are to seek heavenly wisdom, because those are durable riches, rather than seeking material wealth. Again, we've said many times, 15 years from now, it's not going to matter one iota how nice of a car you drove. It's not going to matter. And when it comes to your deathbed, if you have one, it's not going to matter what kind of car you drove, how big a house you lived in. None of that's going to matter. It's not going to matter one iota. But what you did in the service of God, that'll matter. Spiritual things, spiritual blessings, that's what will matter. And I'm afraid so many times we realize the world is in ignorance concerning what really matters. But so it is so easy in this world in which we live to lose focus on what matters, on what really counts. And if you think about it, most of the things that we get so upset about are really things that really don't matter. They really don't matter that much. And then things that ought to upset us, things that really matter, they're trivial. And these proverbs are simply telling us that there is durable riches in spiritual things. There is a paradox between spiritual riches and earthly riches. Notice in Proverbs 13, verse 7, there is he that maketh himself rich and hath nothing. And hath nothing. And may I say that if an individual is without Christ, they have nothing. They have nothing. There is he that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Again, the difference between material and spiritual riches. The next proverb along the subject of the insufficiency of the world's wealth and the sufficiency of the spiritual, Proverbs 16 and verse 8 says, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. How many truly believe that? Better is a little with righteousness. Now this goes against the health and wealth gospel of the day. You can be righteous and only ever have a little bit. It's possible. You cannot promise someone you do right and God is going to bless your business abundantly. God is going to bless all your finances abundantly. You just do right. You don't have that promise. You do have this promise that if you do right, you're going to be all right. You'll be all right. God will take care of you. You've got that promise. So there is the individual that has little, better is a little with righteousness. Do we believe that? It's better to have it just a little with righteousness than to have great revenues without right. And again, that implies that it is possible to do wrong, to do what is not right, and yet have great revenues. God may allow you to have great revenues. You may lie, cheat, and steal from everybody, and it just may so happen that you will have great revenues. But that doesn't change the fact that better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. We've got to believe that. We've got to believe that, and we've got to base our life upon that truth. And then in Proverbs chapter 16, along the same lines, Proverbs 16 and verse 16, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. Now here, these are the words of a man, Solomon, who had both. He had wisdom and he had gold. He had wisdom and he had silver. And he puts them side by side, wisdom and gold and silver, and he says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? He is saying, wisdom is better than gold. The spiritual wisdom that we read about in the first nine chapters, that wisdom that we are to pursue, that wisdom that we are to long for and thirst after, that wisdom is, Solomon, the richest man on earth at this time, said that wisdom is better than gold. And to have spiritual understanding, to have spiritual insight, is better than chosen silver. Do we believe that? Again, we need to remember these verses. When there is a conflict between making a worldly living and spiritual responsibilities, which is more important? Well, God knows I have to make a living. I hear that so many times, I'm sick of it. Yes, God knows you have to make a living. And God knows the spiritual is more important than the physical. And I promise you, if you will just take care of the spiritual, you may never be rich materially, but God will take care of it. He'll always take care of it. You may not be able to figure out how He's going to. You don't have to. All you have to do is trust that He's going to. And He will. He always does. We can give testimony after testimony of God's great provision. So when it comes down to wisdom or gold, how much better is it to get wisdom? We need to pursue wisdom. We need to be in earnest pursuit of this wisdom. It's rare today. It's rare to find anybody who has wisdom. We need to pursue wisdom. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Says, better is a dry morsel or a stale piece of bread and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices or a house full of plenty, a house of feasting. Better is that dry morsel with quietness than a house full of plenty and strife. Be aware of, or beware of whose life you envy. How many times people envy those who have, and yet their life is miserable. Their life is full of strife. And Proverbs, Solomon says, I'd rather have a piece of stale bread than a feast, but have righteousness and peace and contentment. I'd rather have that with the peace of God in our hearts. And again, you can do what is right, and perhaps all you'll have is a piece of stale bread, but you'll have peace. You'll have peace. And that peace, that means something. The peace of God is of great value. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Better is the poor. Materially, he's poor. Physically, he's poor. But he walks in integrity. He's honest. He's a person of honor. He's a person of
righteousness. This individual is better than he that is perverse and perhaps has treasures, but is a fool. Proverbs 28. This will be the last one we look at tonight, but Proverbs 28, verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Again, the implication of all these verses is you can do what is right. You can follow God's will. And in doing so, you may never have much in this life, physically or materially. But you just keep doing what is right. And Solomon assures us over and over and over again, you are better off than the individual who has great treasures, but he does not have that which is spiritual. You're better off than the individual who has great treasures, but he's lied and cheated to get them. How many times God's people will complain? And that's really what it is. They're complaining and murmuring to God. Here I do everything right, and I can barely pay my bills. And here's my neighbor. He's a liar, he's a thief, he's a cheat, and he's got no financial problems whatsoever. Don't complain about that. Because Solomon says you're better off. And we've got to remember that. It's always better to do what's right. Every single day, and many times in our lives, you and I are brought into situations where we have to make a choice. We're either going to do what is right or we're going to do what is wrong. And it may seem that if we just tell one lie, if we just take advantage of this one person, this is the break we need. This will help us. No, it won't. You'll always be better off doing right. You'll always be better off telling the truth. Always. Always. Doesn't mean that you'll be materially wealthy, that all your financial problems will come to an end. But it is the way to have the blessing of God. Now, if you look back through these Proverbs that we went through tonight, Proverbs 15, verse 16 and 17, Proverbs 16, verse 8 and verse 16. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Proverbs 19, verse 1. And Proverbs 28, verse 6. Every one of those Proverbs have the word better in them. And the lesson is simply this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's better. Because it's better. It's always better. It's always better to seek the spiritual than the physical. Always. Always. It's a struggle that we all have. We feel like I've got to take care of this physically, this physical problem, this material need, and I'll just put the spiritual to the side. God understands. Don't you understand that it's always better to put the spiritual first? That is always best. It is best for you. It is best for your family. It is always best. People will say, I can't be in church, and God understands. And you keep telling yourself that, and you might believe it one day. But God understands. I've got to miss all these church services because I've got to provide for my family. I'm sorry, but that's contrary to the Word of God. And God doesn't understand. Put the spiritual first, and God will bless. That
I just wish every child of God would realize that simple truth. Put the spiritual first, and everything will be all right. How it's going to be all right, I don't know, but everything is going to be all right. Just do what's right. And that is the lesson of these Proverbs. That the lesson of these Proverbs is the spiritual is sufficient. The material is really insufficient. It is the spiritual that matters. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.